Second Nephi chapter 7. In this chapter, the Lord continues to talk to his scattered followers. Scattered followers begin to feel that he'll never come, and they feel forgotten, forsaken, as was said in 1 Nephi chapter 21. The Lord says unto them in verse 1, Have I put thee away, or have I cast thee off forever? For thus saith the Lord, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? And he says, and he's telling them that he hasn't put them away. And he goes on in this verse to say, If anyone put anyone away, you have put me away. You have sold yourselves into transgression. You have sold yourself to my creditors. But up above he says, To whom have I put thee away? Or to which of my creditors have I sold thee? We know that we are all creditors of Jesus Christ. He has no creditors to put thee away to. So he's saying to you that you have made up the creditors. If you've been put away, you have decided that he won't come. And so therefore, you have went to the others, and you've decided to make men your leaders, and you went to them and did what they've said. And you therefore became their servants, and the servants of man, instead of being the servants of the Lord. And then the Lord shows his sorrow in it. He says, Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called ye, there was none to answer. You see, this is his sorrow, is that he's the one that wants us, and we're the ones that have decided that we will go to someone else who claims because they have been so righteous, they have been made the leaders of a church. And having been made the leaders of a church, that now the Lord owes them. And so therefore, he has made them the rulers to rule over you because of their righteousness. They understand that clearly in their mind. That they, oh Lord, they now imply, the leaders of the church now imply, that because of their righteousness and because of how well they run the kingdom of God, the Lord owes them, so that therefore they are the creditors of the Lord, and you must therefore go to them instead of going directly for the Lord. And the Lord's saying that just isn't true. Because I am calling to you now, and you don't listen to me, you listen to them. And he says that in verse 2, Have I shortened my arm? But he says that, meaning no, he has not shortened his arm. It's you that have decided you don't want to hear. So as we go into this, we have that again, many of the true followers of Christ have stopped listening and stopped looking for the Lord. They have gone in despair, and so they began to look to others. But nonetheless, he knows that many of them will hear his voice. In verse 3, to say, this is how you should feel. First, you need to put on sackcloth, or meaning you need to repent. Repent and humble yourself before me. And then when you do this, obviously, others are going to be able to point their finger at you. And he said, the way that you can be waking up to know that it's time to repent is that I will talk through these learned men and these other men, and I will allow them to say words that should wake you up, is what he's saying in verse 4. And when that wakes you up, then you should know that it's the Lord, and that the Lord opened your... It really wasn't these men. See, these wake-up things are wake you up to the Lord, not to these... And say, oh, it isn't these men. This is the Lord waking me up. And now you see, and now you're woken to say, it is the Lord, and I will... And my eye is to the Lord. And then at that time, he goes on to say how you'll feel. And how you'll take him upon you, and even though everyone is against you, and even though they smite you, and even those men that you have said before that you would follow, they will begin to smite you for not following because they still have some control over you. But you are to keep your eye to the Lord and continue to follow him and say that he is your strength. And this is what's being said in verses 5 through 9. And you have to read this, and you have to let this sing to you. Don't let my commentary try and persuade you. What is important about Isaiah is that it is a song to the followers of the Lord and those who will follow, and they have to read it in the Spirit and let it sing to them. In verse 10, and say that you must hear the words of the Lord through his servants, who are his true servants. But if the word of the Lord, not any servant that just claims that he has authority, is a servant to deliver you this word, then you are supposed to see that light, and you are to walk to it, and you're to go to that, to the light that is delivered you by that servant. Now, what is that light? That's the light of the love of Christ, and that you know that, yes, I can see Christ now, and through His words I can go there. But you're surrounded by darkness. You're surrounded by the darkness of apostasy and the own state that you put yourself in. But you're to look for it and see that light. And as you see that light, then you're to walk to it. And as you walk to it, it goes on in verse 11 that you'll make your own light, and through your own testimonies, your own relationship with the Lord, then slowly the sparks of light will come around you, and these are made by yourself for your own desire to follow the Lord and your own relationships that then you begin to have with the Spirit, and these relationships can be said to be sparks, and as it says they will be kindled, or meaning that they will grow, and as they grow, so do you grow in your relationship with Christ. And it finishes there by saying, and then you shall lay down in sorrow, which means that you will feel sorrow that you haven't been with the Lord. You will sorrow for the world that's around you, that they don't see the Lord, and thus is the lot of His followers, is to feel the sorrow of the world.